Turn your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah Yes, you got me again tonight. I'm sorry. And for those visiting, I do apologize. Pastor is on a well-deserved break, but he'll be back here next Sunday, so you owe it to yourself to come back, please, and hear our pastor. We're early. Turn to Psalm 119, please. Read the whole chapter. Then we'll go from there, amen? Then we'll read all 31 Proverbs, and then we'll go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, and let me start reading, please, in verse 8. Let's all stand, please, for the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, I'll start reading in verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with my withholding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. All at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge the fact that without you, we can do nothing. And I do ask again, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you would meet with us tonight. I pray that you would bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. And I thank you for our church, the fact that we have services like this. I thank you for your people, their faithfulness. And I do pray for our pastor. I pray that you'd bless them as they're away and bring them back safely to us. And I do ask, dear Lord, for your hand of blessing upon the service tonight. Again, may everything said and done before thy glory and for thy honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing there. God was warning Israel about judgment that was about to come. In verse 22, he said that there's a country that's about to attack you. In fact, Jeremiah 6:22 says, thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. God says judgment's coming. There's a country from the north. There's a fierce country. And God also witnessed against his people and revealed what kind of people the Israelites were. In verse 10, we read this. It says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, that they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Verse 19 says, hear, O Lord, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words,
nor to my law, but rejected it. The Israelites had no regard for the word of God. Verse 13, we find that God says they were covetous. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. It was all about what I can get in this life. It's all, you know, what I need to get for me. And by the way, it was so bad that they were willing to do wrong in order to get what they wanted. Everyone dealeth falsely. The preachers were afraid to preach the truth. They watered down the word of God. Verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Imagine that, preaching something that's not even true, just to make people feel good. They say, let's all talk about positive. Let's not talk about the negative now. There's peace, peace. And God says, when there is no peace, they compromise the word of God, the preaching. They water down the word of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:15, they were not ashamed of their sins. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. We're in the series in the book of Genesis in Sunday school class, and there's a passage there where Noah got drunk and was naked inside the tent. And the Bible says one of his sons came in and saw him. But the other two could not even look there. I mean, they took a blanket and walked backward and covered their father so that they would not see that. You know, you start wondering, it says, man, I mean, what's so bad? He's inside, it's his privacy. But you know what? Things nowadays on TV and the movies and all that, I mean, that's way beyond that now. We don't even blush about those. I mean, good night. Here's two sons. Walk backwards so that they don't see the nakedness of their father. We don't see that anymore. We're used to it now. We don't even blush. And Jesus and God said to them, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush, the Bible says. Also, God said in verse 19 that they tried to look religious on the outside, but they were rebels in heart. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. That was their attitude. They had no regard for the word of God. And then verse 20, God says this, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. It says, I know your heart. You're just in it for show. I mean, good night, you're offering the burnt offerings and all that, but what's that to me? I don't even have your heart. You're rebels in heart, and you're trying to look good. They look religious on the outside, but God saw the inside. God was running out of patience, but his love for his people made him offer a way out if they would only take it. Verse 16 is our text tonight. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. He told the nation of Israel, go out there where all the roads meet. He says, stand ye in the ways. When you get there, you look around and see. There will be roads there that are new and well-traveled. He says, don't look there. I don't want you to look for those. I want you to ask for the ones that you could barely see. The old paths. the roads that people used to take. Find the good way and walk therein. There's a lot of these new roads coming up, and they're becoming well traveled. But God says judgment is coming. You don't realize how bad you are, but there's hope, he said. But don't look to these new roads and these new ways. And God says, I want you to go ask around. He says, go there where all the roads meet and see and look around. And then you ask. Ask the old timers. Where's the old paths? Where's the good way? And then when they point out to you where the old paths are, you go walk therein. Because when you walk that way, you'll find rest, God said. Judgment is coming. The solution is not found in the new roads. It's found in the old paths. Amen. In the old paths. God said, go the good way, the old paths, the ones that your people have forsaken. Those are the ones that will bring you rest, not this new stuff. That's the old paths. That's what you want. Amen. I, along with Pastor, I'm sick and tired of churches going the new routes. As if it's something good and something special, like they nobody's ever thought of it before. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. Nothing new under the sun. And God says, I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go take the old paths, amen. The ones that people used to take, the good way. And God says, I want you to walk therein. The old paths, amen. Tonight, I'd like to apply what God said to Israel, to our country. Pastor has been warning us that America is on a very slippery slope to destruction. And by the way, she is. Still the greatest country in the world. People still flock to come to this country. But you know what? We are sick. We're going downhill fast. And God tells Israel, says, go look for the old ways. Because in the old ways, you'll find rest. And I want to tell us, let's look for the old ways. There's no way we can rescue this country with this new stuff. New stuff. If you're hearing and, you know, for some reason you're plugged into our station, our service somehow, and you're one of those pastors that are going this new way, I'm glad you're listening. And maybe I can say something tonight that would change the direction. And maybe we could change, you know, when pastor is 99 and if the Lord tarries and pastors 99 and then goes to full-time evangelism. You don't need a preacher here. Let's go in the new roads, amen. So this is prescriptive. Don't you be, when pastor is now on full-time evangelism and you know, he said, now we need a new pastor here. Don't go the new ways. Ask for the old paths. The good way, God said. It doesn't have to be that way, though, for our country. There can still be rest, but it's going to be a long way uphill. But it can be done. But we're not going to get it in this new ways, the new roads. We need the old paths. And by the way, we can make America great again, not with Mr. Trump, but by doing what God told Israel to do. By the way, I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. I'm glad the economy is going great. But you know what? That can all change in the next election. Our hope is not there. Our hope is in the Word of God. Our hope is in the churches of God. You see, praise the Lord, I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. But we can make America great again by going to the old paths that brought our country to prominence among other nations of the world. It is still the greatest nation in the world. But you know what? America was greater in the beginning than she is now. And there was a reason for that. What is the old way? What are the old ways? One, let me say, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. America was great when we made much of Jesus as Savior. And by the way, it is true. Our country was founded as a Christian nation. Most of the founding fathers believed in Jesus as Savior. Were they all saved? No. But they believed in God the Father, God the Son, and they believed that Jesus died on the cross. I mean, you'd be amazed, the constitutions of some of the states and some localities where, you know what, you can't even run for public office unless you confess Jesus as Savior. I mean, good night. That's not politically correct, but that's how they did it back then. You see, America was great when we made much of Jesus as Savior. Not all were Christians, we know that, but many were. I mean, much of the signers of the Declaration believed in Jesus as Savior. They had understanding. See, back then, they had understanding that Christianity comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of our leaders were moral leaders because of their faith in the God of the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Our Christian heritage in this country. I know we're trying to do away with that, with the media and all that, but you know what? You go back to history and read it. It's still there, amen. I'm glad that here in America, anyone can worship God any way they want. And I'm glad that they can believe in whatever God they want. I'm glad that they can even believe that there's no God. But let's never forget that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives, amen. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, it is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. We try in vain to change people's behavior. We legislate it. Man, you're going to have a hard time changing people's behavior until, first of all, you get them saved. Amen. You see, they have to be born again. It's being very hard to change a person. You don't change from the outside. You change from the inside out. Why was America so great in the beginning? Many of them were Christians. Many of them had the Holy Spirit of God living within them. Many of them listened to what God said in their lives. Yes, they were. It was a great nation, a greater nation than now. Why? Because of their salvation. Amen. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we need. That's why the bus ministry is so important for our city, our state, our country. Because again, we must first change a person's heart before we can change their behavior. I was a prison guard for a couple years. They call it correctional facility. You don't correct anything in there. I mean, good night. 85% of them go back. The only way you're going to correct anything in there is get them saved, amen, and preach to them the word of God and tell them, you know what, don't do that again. That's how you change it. Correctional facility. No, it was a prison. I had a sergeant. I liked this sergeant. Yeah, he announced, he says, okay, it's time to go back in. All prisoners go to your dorms. That was politically incorrect. You're supposed to use inmates. He says, you know what? I don't use, no, he says, convicts go back to your dorms. He said, well, you're being insensitive. No. That's what they are. They are convicted felons. That's why they're in state prison. And we whitewash all that stuff. It doesn't help them. No, they are convicts. And praise God, if you're a convict and you got it right with God and you're not doing it anymore, praise God, you're accepted in this church. But you know what? Wrong is still wrong. And that's what we got away from. We need to realize that wrong is still wrong. And the gospel is the only thing that will change the behavior. That's the only thing. Bert Manuel is trying to make a difference in the lives of the juveniles. You know what? He's doing it with the gospel. That's the only way you can change your life. I was talking to someone before the service. He said, had no concept of who God is. I mean, from a different background, he says, I started listening and I started hearing the word of God and the gospel about Jesus Christ. And they say, you know what? I start realizing what was right and what was wrong. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that causes us to change. That's why the bus ministry is so important. It's not time to get out of the bus ministry. We're trying to rescue a nation. It's time to get back in. It's time to get more bus routes going. It's time to get more neighborhoods under the gospel, the preaching of the word of God. Why? That's the only thing that changes lives. Amen. That's why door-to-door soul winning is so important. That's why missions is so important. That's why Sunday school is so important. That's why a church that proclaims the gospel is so important. Why? You can't change someone from the outside. You have to change them from the inside. And much in the beginning of our history as a nation, much of the population were born again. They knew Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why for the most part, even I believe it was President Washington said, you know, our Constitution is made for a moral people. And while we've gone away from morality or righteousness, that's why we're trying to get away from the Constitution. But a child of God looks at the Constitution and says, you know, praise God, I'm glad we have that. But somebody who doesn't want God looks at that and says, you know what, I don't want that. That's the difference. It is Jesus Christ. Oh, man, aren't you glad you're in a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know what, we don't have a social gospel. I'm glad for churches that try to help and feed the body and do all those things on the outside. They can do that whatever they want, but you know what, you got to help the inside first before you can help the outside. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. It's not time to get out of soul winning. It's not time to get out of the ministry. It's not time to get out and stop going out and telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever get tired of getting out the gospel. You know, you truly do make a difference. I'm standing here because somebody got the gospel. I think I would have been dead or in prison had I not gotten saved. But it was the gospel of Jesus Christ, His grace, that changed the life. Oh, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Gospel of Jesus Christ. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Oh, it may take longer now to see a changed life, but you know what? God still changes lives. Oh, it may be harder now because of the prevalence of sin, but you know what? God can still do a miracle in the lives of people. You're sitting here tonight because God did a miracle. Amen. Woo! And guess what? If God can do it for you, God can do it for anybody else. You just got to get going and keep going and preach the gospel. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm excited now. It is the gospel. America's greater because of the fact that people proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ and people knew who Jesus was. God told Israel, go out there where the roads meet and look around, ask for the old paths. America can be great again if churches once again made, you know, pastor says, churches are now stopping soul winning. I mean, good night, what are you going to do? How are you going to change lives if you're not going out there soul winning? Because only the gospel changes lives. It's not time to get out of soul winning. It's time to get in it. So, but it's the new road. It's the new way. And God says, you know what? Go to the old paths. Go out there where the roads meet and ask somebody, says, you know, where's the old way? Where's the good way? And God says, walk therein, because therein you'll find rest. Look for the old ways. And we have so many people now so smart, smarter than God. God says, stop thinking. Let me build the church. You go out there and just do what I say. Don't worry about building the church. Let me do that. America can be great again if churches once again made much of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So instead of getting out of the bus ministry, get back in. Perhaps you're here and you say, you know, I quit the bus ministry. Well, you know what? Get back in. You stop going soul winning, well, get back in. You stop proclaiming the gospel, get back in. It's the only thing that will change his lives. Amen. Instead of stopping soul winning ministries, get more going. Let me say this. There is no law that government can pass that can change a life. I don't care who you have in Congress, in legislature and all that, there's no law that they can pass that can change a life. But the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. America was greater when churches all over this nation proclaimed the gospel. And by the way, we were a moral nation at one point because of that. America was great when we made much of the Bible. Our form of government was based on the Bible. Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. He will save us. Judge, judicial branch. Lawgiver, legislative branch. King, executive branch. One government, but separation of powers. Churches were exempt from taxes because of Ezra 7:24. Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests, the Levites, singers, porters, netonyms, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And now we're talking about taxing the church. The founding fathers knew better. They made much of the word of God. They made much of what God said. There's two books that was mostly informational for formation of our government. One is the Blackstone, English law, something like that. And the second was the Bible. The Bible, the word of God. You see, we are a republic, not a democracy. Each individual is represented, equal rights to all. We are represented four different levels of government: cities, counties, states, and federal. Exodus 18:21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. A small government to big government. We're modeled. Our way of life was modeled from the word of God. The Bible played a big part in the formation of this country and what laws were passed in the beginning. At one time, we had blue laws. You can't go to the store on Sunday. It wasn't open. Now everything's open on Sunday. And we're closing churches. We're backwards. We're backwards. Stadium is open. We're closed on Sunday night. No, man. The more we should get the churches open. The Declaration of Independence acknowledges the existence of God and declares where our rights come from. They come from God, not government. That's why it's called inalienable rights. No one can take it away from you because it didn't come from government. It came from God Himself. It was the government that printed Bibles in 1782 to be used in our public schools. I believe they did it a couple times after that as well. God said, look for the old paths, the good way. We need to thank God for every church that still proclaimed the word of God with boldness and conviction, without apology, not wanting to be politically correct. It seems like now preachers are soft on their preaching because they don't want to offend anybody. No, just preach the word. They took away the Bibles in our public schools, and now we are reaping the consequences of that foolish move. You don't get away with that, folks. You don't get away from fearing God and thinking it's going to come out right. No, it's not. There is a God. There is a God. We need to make much of God's word. By the way, you know, you can't expect others to read it if you don't read it. All of us here should be reading the word of God personally. You know, it's sad if you've gone through the whole week and now you're in church and the first time you opened the Bible was today. No, sir, we need to make much of the word of God. Read it daily, meditate on it, and obey what God said. Thank God for the Bible. I mean, it set the direction early on in this country. We've gone away from that direction. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know what? God is still right, and everybody else is wrong if they go against God. Man, that's a strong statement. Yes, it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. If God says, you know, if somebody says, you know, well, I know that's what God says, but that's not right. You know what? They're wrong. Because God is always right. By the way, God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best for us individually. And God knows what's best for us as a country. Look for the old paths. The good way. Thank God for every church that still proclaims the Bible, the Word of God, as God's Word. America was greater when churches all over this nation proclaimed the gospel. It is only the gospel that changes lives. It's not time to get out. It's not time to stop soul winning. It's time to do more. You can't change the outside until you first change the inside. America was great when we made much of the Bible, the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible is our life. We kill the nation when we take the Bible out of our daily lives. And that's what's happening today. America was greater when we made much of old-time preaching of God's Word. Old-time preaching. We have become so politically correct in our preaching. We emphasize teaching and forsaken proclaiming the Word of God. You know what? There is nothing wrong with the way our pastor preaches. That is what you want. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I don't like to hear cut and dried sermons." No. When I hear a man preach, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees. Get away. That's what he said. You know, it's good to use your screens to teach lessons. I use a screen. We are in the chapel, and there's a screen there I use. I have an iPad, and I don't read from the iPad. I use that to draw things for the board. You know, I use that. It helps keep the attention. That's for teaching. But somehow, and I really don't understand it, preaching is not teaching. There's teaching in it, but preaching is preaching. He said there's just something different about preaching. You know what? Just preach it. Take a text and declare God's truth. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and I think we're there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own hearts shall lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's hard to change the direction of a nation with teaching. Revivals took place after preaching of the Word of God. People were brought under conviction of their sin, and they turned to God after the preaching of the Word of God. Mighty men of God declared the Word of God with power and unction from on high. And guess what? People changed the way they live. God sent prophets to Israel. He told them to proclaim or preach God's Word. Ezekiel 6:11, thus saith the Lord God, smite with thy hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud and spare not. Rapusin, you're loud. Thank you. Because that's what God said. Cry aloud. And say, how much? Spare not. Give it all you got. Amen. And I just happen to be blessed with a loud voice. Amen. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. You see, preaching cuts. It does. It chops away the dead branches of our lives. It's hard to do that in teaching. Preaching is the one that cuts. Teaching becomes so polished. It has a very dull edge now. It doesn't change anything anymore. Oh, it looks good. You know, you have your PowerPoint presentation and all that, and you have your outlines and all your points and all that. Well, praise God, la, 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 la. You know what? But preach the word! I'm impressed. You could tell I'm not. By the way, I use that. Well, not really. But I think if I could, I would. A PowerPoint and all that. It's hard for me. I get bored. So... But see, that's what teaching is. Teaching is good for the head. You transfer knowledge. Oh, when you preach, you preach to the heart. You preach to the heart, and that changes the life. Amen. You preach to the heart and preach from the heart. That's what preaching is, and that's what we've lost. Oh, we want to be so accepted so much by the lost crowd, by the people who don't even claim Jesus as Savior, that we don't want to offend them anymore, so there's no more difference between teaching and preaching. It's the same thing. You say, we have Sunday school and we have preaching, but there's no difference. It's the same. And God says, preach the word. Be in season, out of season. When people want it, you preach it. When people don't want it, you preach it. You just keep on preaching it. Amen. We need teaching, yes, but God sends revivals in response to the preaching of the word of God. Don't ever be ashamed that this is an old-time Baptist church. That this is an old-fashioned preaching Baptist church. Don't ever be ashamed of that. People may make fun of that and say, man, look at your preacher. You look at your pastor over there yelling to the people, and you guys like that? Yes, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Because preaching cuts and chips away from those things that God doesn't want in our lives. We become so polished. And so polished that we become so dull. And nothing changes. These three, gospel, can't change the heart from the outside. It's always from the heart first, from the inside. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible. That is our manual for Christian living. Every man does that with right in their own eyes. Everybody has their own opinion. You know, we're saying marriage is between man and women and women. No, it's not. Marriage has always been between a man and a woman. Amen. Abortion is still murder. Right. Homosexuality is wrong. Right. And all these things. And we have all our ideas. But God says, you know what? The manual for our life is the word of God. Amen. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's get back to old time preaching of God's word. And those of you who are going to be pastoring some churches someday, you know what? You preach the word. Just go for it. Go for it. I mean, good night. At first, maybe you'll be, you know, like a novice, don't know much. But you know what? That's okay. Take a text and preach it. I remember a bus route one time. I was just, very new. I think I've said it before. And I preached on Bart Simpson was big back then. And I preached on Bart Simpson to those bus kids. And guess what? When they came out to be dismissed from to the church, guess the first one that came out? It was a bus kid, and he had Bart Simpson sweatsuit on. I was like, but he was talking. He was thinking like, he's preaching against me. You know, hey, you know what? I had a text. I had Bart Simpson. But I preached, amen. I think he came back to church, so I think I'm okay. But you know what? Don't be one of those smooth, polished, politically correct teachers. Preach the word. People are not going to like it, especially now, but you know what? It's still right. We've gone away from those things. God says that righteousness exalteth a nation. But how can we have righteousness or living right when we don't go out and tell people about the gospel? We can't change them, like I said. When we don't make much of the Bible in our own personal devotions. How can we have righteousness? How can we have people, how can we expect others to be reverent to the word of God when we're not? We are accepting this new type of church services, these new roads. Very user-friendly, with an emphasis on how to attract the most people. So instead of just preaching the word of God, they compromise. Just preach it. Let God take care of the results. Because one day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account on how you declared God's word. You see, they're very good, these new types. They would make good CEOs, but the church is not a business. The church is a church. And God has prescribed how a church is to be run in His Word. You see, You don't go down to the level of the sinners in order to lift them up. You stay where you are, and you invite them to come up to where you are. I read, I don't know how far this went, but I read that special forces are considering lowering the physical standards so that women can pass. You know what? And by the way, I'm not against women, but the Bible does say the women are the weaker vessel. You know, for the most part, not all, but for the most part, men are stronger than women. That's just the way it is. Now, there's some women that are stronger than men. That'd be a shame. But for the most part, men are stronger. So what we're doing now is we lower the physical standards so we can accommodate more, so that we can be more inclusive of our society, so that nobody can feel left out and be offended, you know, and go home and cry in their safe spaces. But see, you know what happens when you do that? You degrade the capabilities of the special forces. Hey, Mayan! You want the strongest army you can have. Not weaken it so you can get more. No, sir. If they can make the standards, well, that's fine. But you know what? You don't lower the standards. And what we're having now in this new ways is we're lowering the standards of Christianity. We want to blend in with the crowd. No, sir. You want to lift them up from the crowd to where we are. Not that we're holier than them, but this is where God wants us to be. You see. Keep the standards high and preach it and encourage others to keep striving to get better. Maybe we can't make much of a difference in America as a country. But you know what? We can still make a difference in this church, in our city, our state. Judgment is coming, but there's still hope. Go to where the roads meet, God said. You look around and see. When you're there, go look at the old-timer folks. Ask them, where's the old pass? It's over there. And God says, I want you to walk therein, because that's where you'll find rest. We don't find it in this new thing, this new church services, new music, new standards of holiness. We don't find it there. And some of us are tempted to go there. Get out of that road. Get out of that road. Seek the old path. There's nothing wrong with the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed through old-time preaching. There's nothing wrong with declaring that the Bible is the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with this church, amen, that stands like that. There's nothing wrong with pastor who stands for that. I'm so glad I'm a member of this church. I'm so glad I have a pastor who believes like he does passionately. Praise God for it. Don't be ashamed of your heritage. Whew! I'm an old-time Baptist preacher. Old-time gospel religion, and I'm glad for it. I'm not better than anybody else, but I'm not going to down my heritage, because it is the good way. It is the old path. What we need is to have a church like that until Jesus Christ comes back. Would you bow your heads, please, and stand with me.